Hello and welcome. In this episode of the Cole Memo, we have Illinois Cannabis News. I'm your host, Cole Preston. Every episode is released in audio, video, and transcript format. To find the transcript, audio, or video version of any episode, please refer to the description of the episode that you're listening to now. Within that description, you can find a link that will take you to our website, which will display the transcript for this episode and the platforms where you can find this episode in audio or video formats. If you're unable to locate the episode description on whichever platform you're listening from, simply note the episode number and visit thecolememo.com. From there, you can use our search functionality in the top right-hand corner to find the corresponding episode, and then you'll be able to access the audio, video, and transcript version of that episode. You might also find any links that we referenced during the episode so that you might be able to do your own research. If you're not listening to this episode of The Cole Memo on Patreon, then you are listening to this episode later than our patrons. To become a patron, go to thecolememo.com/Patreon. It's a great way to support our show. Another way to support our show is at thecolememo.com/support. Once again, that is thecolememo.com/support. You can make a one-time, monthly, or yearly contribution of your choice. That's right. You can donate any amount once, monthly, or yearly, any amount. And that's not the only way to support our show. A great way to support our show, one of the best ways to support our show, in fact, is free. Subscribe to or follow our show. Leave us a positive review from wherever you're listening to us from. Favorite this episode. Give it a thumbs up. Leave a comment. Or once again, post a review. Your engagement and support is appreciated. Enjoy this episode of The Cole Memo. Today is 10:32. No, today is February 29th, 2024. The time is 10:32. I am happy to report, first and foremost, that a press release was issued today. Is that the correct way to say it? Where the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity announced the second round of the Cannabis Social Equity Loan Program. You can read more about this at thecolememo.com. I will put a link in the episode description so that you can read this article, which includes excerpts of the press release and a link to the press release itself. There's also information on round one of DCEO funding. And so you can like see who received that funding and such for round one. And like I say, round two is now open. So that's news. There's the official press release. It was issued today, as you can see, Thursday, February 29th. 2024. Also released today was a report by the I-Team. This is not the first time we've watched the I-Team on this podcast, and I hope it's not the last. I generally really enjoy their reporting, so let's check it out, shall we? Let's watch what just aired on ABC7. I'm pulling it up right now. Here we go, folks. You'll be able to see the previews that they posted and the actual piece itself. Let's watch it.
As we head into the weekend, I'll tell you when we get to the 60s and even 70s.
And diversity in the marijuana industry.
Our I-Team following up on what's being done to level the playing field for people of color in Illinois.
Live from Chicago, ABC 7 Iowa. Legal marijuana, a $2 billion industry in Illinois. But some people of color have been missing out.
There are a number of barriers to entry into this industry that they still are not able to overcome.
Coming up next.
Spanish.
Tonight, the ABC 7 Eye team is taking a closer look at the marijuana here in Illinois.
Some critics argue the state hasn't done enough to level the playing field for people of color to cash in on this business. But tonight, Illinois is touting major strides to make the industry more equitable.
Our investigative reporter, Samantha Chapman, joins us tonight with the story.
One of the goals of legalizing marijuana was to repair the damage of mass cannabis convictions among people of color. The state says it is proud of the steps it's made over these past 4 years to make the industry more attainable for everyone.
When cannabis was illegal, 80% of arrests were black and brown people. My brother was one of the 80% of people who was arrested for cannabis possession.
His brother's arrest was one of the reasons Matthew Brewer wanted to get into the marijuana industry. Brewer is now celebrating his first year as the proud owner of the Grasshopper Club, the first independent black-owned dispensary in Chicago.
It was a full circle moment when we opened our first location, and the first purchase ever here was my brother.
He co-owns this Logan Square dispensary with his brother Chuck and mother Diane.
I had no relationship with marijuana.
It's a venture Miss Diane couldn't have imagined in her wildest dreams as a black woman. When recreational marijuana became legal in Illinois back in 2020, the first cannabis businesses to open were 100% majority white owned, and the state caught a lot of flack for that. Critics argued the barriers to entry were so extreme and costly, people of color were finding it nearly impossible to break into the industry. The following year, Illinois launched its social equity program, which connects people and communities that have historically been impacted by criminalization of cannabis to business ownership opportunities in the legal cannabis industry. Aaron Johnson, who oversees marijuana operations in Illinois, says as of 2021, anyone in the state seeking marijuana business licenses must meet social equity criteria.
You really qualify by living in a disproportionately impacted area. So disproportionately low high school graduation rate, disproportionately high use of SNAP benefits, those markers that are really race neutral, but really get at the folks who were harmed by the war on drugs. We are literally the most diverse industry in the country. We've led the way.
According to a state report analyzed by the ABC 7 data team, from 2020 to 2023, black-owned cannabis companies in Illinois increased from 0 to 27%. Latino-owned companies went from 0 to 5%. And women-owned companies increased from 3 to 16%.
So we're really doing things to make sure that our cannabis industry looks like the state of Illinois.
But critics like Ambrose Jackson, CEO of the minority-owned cannabis company, the 1937 Group, says the state could do much more.
The license holders, the social equity license holders who were promised a dream, have had that dream either deferred or squashed. There are a number of barriers to entry into this industry that they still are not able to overcome.
Raising capital is a huge issue. Jackson says to date, the state has not followed through on its legal obligation to provide funding to dispensary license holders via the Social Equity Cannabis Loan Program. The state didn't tell me what was behind the delay for the release of these funds, but told me they hope to start accepting applications this week. Back at Grasshopper Club, the owners are thankful to have not just one, but two thriving dispensaries in Illinois. But Matthew Brewer wants to see more business owners that look like him.
Frankly, a little bit disappointing that there's not more.
Critics say other barriers include extremely high cannabis taxes, which are among the highest in the nation, and the tight deadline for license holders to have their businesses up and running. The state tells me it is committed to ensuring the federal government passes the Safer Banking Act so that marijuana businesses can take advantage of the same loans other small businesses are able to access. Samantha Chapman, ABC 7, Eyewitness News.
Samantha, thanks so much for that report. A Chicago Animal Rescue Group is raising money to save.
So that was an interesting report. So I just want to run through a few thoughts here really quick. The first and foremost important thought I had on this report was it's something that we hear all the time. These efforts, these social equity efforts, are meant to rectify the injustices of the war on drugs. I've maintained that the only true way to begin to rectify these injustices and prevent further injustices is to put an end to the war on drugs altogether. In the context of cannabis in Illinois, this would entail repealing the Cannabis Control Act of 1978, which the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act did not do. Arrests continue in Illinois despite its quote unquote legal status because the state's quote unquote legalization policy implemented under the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act in 2019 failed to address key issues established by the Cannabis Control Act of 1978. Rather than decriminalizing cannabis across the board, the legislation merely created narrow exceptions, leaving many aspects of possession, use, and cultivation subject to serious legal repercussions. Folks, my question here is, what was Mr. Chuck Brewer, I believe his name? Yeah, Chuck Brewer. What was he charged with? Apparently cannabis possession. I did a few Googles and I can't find exactly what his possession charge was. I do think it's notable to mention, though, that you can still be charged with cannabis possession to this day in the state of Illinois. I'd like to maybe ask Chuck what he thinks about that. He could still be charged with cannabis possession to this day. So once again, I ask, do these efforts actually address anything? It's just an honest question. Again, because if these policies continue, if these efforts are meant to rectify the injustices of the war on drugs, again, why don't we just end the war on drugs so that we don't have to rectify anything else? That's the last time I'll say rectify. Let's go through the rest of my thoughts on this report. That makes more sense why the press release came out today and funding is now available. Given that I can't remember exactly what was said, but they asked about funding at a certain point in here. Maybe I can roll that back. Yeah, let's roll this back just for a second. Given the context of what we just started the episode with, let's just play this moment back.
Not able to overcome.
Raising capital is a huge issue. Jackson says to date, the state has not followed through on its legal obligation to provide funding to dispensary license holders via the Social Equity Cannabis Loan Program. The state didn't tell me what was behind the delay for the release of these funds, but told me they hope to start accepting applications this week. Back at
So this week they are accepting the applications and, you know, just like that report said they would, that press release came out today. So they're open to that. I will just mention, you know, that I had a story that I wrote in the past. It was called Craft Growers in Illinois Struggle to Cultivate Their Dreams. I wrote it as an article. It's also episode 60. We talk about it. But if you look in that article, which I am going to share on my screen right now, you will see a section entitled Issues with Funding. And I talk about several licensed operators who described issues with funding. And specifically, you know, they mentioned the CEO is failing to respond. I don't know that it is in my report, but there were, you know, a lot of questions about round one, where the money went. I know another reporter, I believe, I don't know if they obtained the data via FOIA or what, but Alex Nitkin at the time had some data. Actually, yeah, I reference it right here. He reported on October 19th, 2023. Again, I actually was not aware that I even reached out to Alex. Alex did not get back to me, but I wasn't aware where I could find that data. But of course, it was released today. That's what I started off the report with, this data right here. And actually, I believe if we go to the DCEO website right here and look at this, this information about round one is here and this information about round two is here. Now, if I take that link, and I'll show you how I do this, way back machine. So I'll bring my screen back up here. So again, I'm show you guys how this works. And I actually haven't seen this for myself. Let's just take a look because this should be new information. So take this link here, put it in the Wayback Machine. And what this is going to allow me to do. So today is 229. 2024. I'm going to go to the last snapshot, which was December 7th, 2023. This is going to show us what the website looked like. This website, what it looked like on December 7th, 2023. I'm willing to bet none of this information is here, which is why I've never seen this list before. I'm glad it's available. But let's check this out. Yeah, latest updates. Oh, just as, there we go. They recently finalized the first round. Second round of funding will be available to qualified social equity dispensaries. When a new funding opportunity becomes available, it will be provided on this webpage, which it is today. So that's where that is. Yeah, and I couldn't find that information in the past, even though it, you know, it said the first round had been finalized. Oh, they recently finalized, so maybe they just didn't have it at the time. But yeah, that's the most recent screenshot. So yeah, that's all pretty new information here, and this all makes a little bit more sense now that the ABC7 report has dropped. And before I go, the other part that I found really notable about this particular report was the part where they referenced data. Let me play this segment really quick so you guys know what I'm talking about. Let's watch this.
According to a state report analyzed by the ABC7 data team, from 2020 to 2023, Black-owned cannabis companies in Illinois increased from 0 to 27%. Latino-owned companies went from 0 to 5%. And women-owned companies increased from 3 to 16%.
So we're really doing things to make sure that our cannabis industry looks like this.
So I want to see, you know, I just watched this on TV, so I'm not sure where that data came from. I know that I'm just doing a little bit of research right now while we're on the air. I'm Googling Illinois Cannabis CROO. I'm just trying to find the CROO's website. I will display my screen now. Let's take a look if we can see. Okay, there's a research and data tab. Diverse industry demographics. I bet you that's where this is. And yeah, hey, look at that. Key changes from 2020 to 2023. These are the exact numbers that they provided. I'm pretty goddamn sure these numbers are. Yeah, that's a pretty well exact match. I'll share my screen again here. Check it out, folks. Kind of interesting. So you can see key changes from 2023. You've got Black-owned companies increased from 0% to 27%, 0 to 5. And then where's the women owned? 3 to 16. They didn't include the Asian owned companies. Or wait, did they? No, they didn't. They didn't include the Latino. Oh, wait, these are employees. Sorry. Diversity has increased. So yeah, they didn't include that data. You can see they did not include Asian owned. And they didn't include a coalition of non-white owners with no race or ethnicity holding the majority from 0% to 14%. I don't know what that really means, to be honest, but I just smoked a joint. So I'm just noticing these things. We're just kind of talking out loud. Now here, let's see. Well, what's this stuff? Three diversity studies. Okay. Yeah. I think we've gone through this with Justin Leiby on the show in the past. If you guys want to see us comb through some of this data, look back to the Chillinois podcast episodes with Justin Leiby from the University of Illinois. We talked about a lot of this data and he kind of combs through it on the podcast, shares the screen and all that stuff, just like we're doing right now. One thing I wanted to do before I go was just exactly what I did with that last webpage. You never know what you're going to see. I'm going to the Wayback Machine, and I'm just comparing the last snapshot I can find of it, which happens to be on December 23rd as well, with what we have available now. It looks like it's actually the exact same, so maybe these changes are not new. It's always worth checking out to see what stuff is new. There's other ways to do this, by the way, folks, if you want to look into this. You know, I should do more of this, actually. There's like this idea of, I think it's called Ping Trip or something. You can set it up. I think that's what it's called. I might be wrong. Yeah, you can set something up. It's like that will look for differences on a website and it will ping you. It will like trip a sensor, for lack of better words, and ping you if updates are made to a web page. So if you're super into following this stuff, that's a way you can kind of keep track of how websites change. Folks, I hope you found value in this episode of The Cole Memo. It's going to be March tomorrow, isn't it? Right? Yeah, it's going to be March tomorrow. Happy March. We'll see you in the next episode of The Cole Memo.